You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball with MLB insider John Heyman and former major leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Time Baseball. I'm John Heyman, and today we have a very special episode for you. I'm going to be joined by Orioles first baseman, outfielder, and DH Trey Mancini. Show, we've had so many great guests, from Rob Manfred to Scott Boras to GMs around the league, managers. Trey's only the second active player we've had on. That's probably an oversight. While we have great guests, the game is about the players, so it's great to have a player on. We had Mike Yastrzemski last year, who was fabulous on the air, and he had a great year as well. So I think we're good luck. Whoever's on seems to do well. So it's a pleasure to welcome in Trey Mancini, star of the Baltimore Orioles. How are you doing, Trey?
Hey, John. Doing well. Thanks for having me on. And Mike Yastrzemski was actually my roommate all through the minors. So, So I'm honored to be the second player after him.
We only have Orioles connected players. Of course, Mike Yastrzemski went to the Giants and he's become a star. Trey has been starring with the Orioles and now he's back basically after 18 months of no play, thanks to the cancer diagnosis, unfortunately, that he had. And he's obviously dealt very well with the cancer, and that's the main thing. And of course, it's going to 18 months away. It's a little bit of an adjustment, so we'll get to all that. But first of all, where are you right now? I know you're in Miami, technically, but where are you in terms of your swing and the team? The team is 7-9 as we speak here, so probably better than some thought. Got it off to a nice start. He's been good on the road. And where do you think you guys stand in terms of the team and your swing?
Yeah, I think offensively as a team, we've had some games that we've put up 10 runs and looked amazing. We've had some games where we've really struggled, but we do have a lot of potential offensively. And I think just as a unit, the more we play together, I think that, we can improve even more. And I'm really excited about us on offense. Our pitchers have been doing an incredible job this year. And as an offense, I think we just have to be a little more consistent because we have the potential to really do some damage. But, that takes some time, too. So, I feel good about that. And personally, I got off to a little bit of a slow start, I'd say. But like you said, I missed 18 months. I had forgotten how, quick the game moves at the major league level. But I've been feeling much better the last few days. And I'm just so excited to be back.
I would certainly think so. In terms of the Orioles, obviously we know about Rutschman, who we expect to be a big star at catcher. I like Santander. He had a fantastic year last year. Means is good at the top of the rotation. Obviously the team is still rebuilding. What are a couple of things that give you hope for the future that the Orioles can contend? I mean, obviously, tough division. The Rays are always good. The Red Sox and the Yankees have the money. Toronto's on the rise, not an easy spot, but who else am I missing there that will give you some optimism for the future for the Baltimore Orioles?
Yeah, we've got some great guys in the minors. Grayson Rodriguez, D.L. Hall. Those are a couple pitchers that are really good. And we've got some younger guys that were just drafted the last couple years, along with Adley. Like Gunnar Henderson was in the same draft as Adley, I believe. He's a great player. I got to see him and a lot of the other guys at spring training. And there's a lot of guys on our major league team that people haven't heard of before that have been doing a great job. You know, some bullpen guys. I really like Dylan Tate in the bullpen. I think he pitches really well and pitches with conviction. Paul Fries looked great for us this year. A couple of our starters, Jorge Lopez, has looked really good. Bruce Zimmerman is a rookie who's been great on the mound, has a great presence about him. So there's a lot of guys on our major league team right now who a lot of people might not have heard of that are great players and are getting some experience under their belt. And that is extremely important at the major league level.
Now, I think most people around baseball know Trey's fantastic story of a comeback here. Obviously, as he referenced, 18 months away, not easy in terms of baseball. Was diagnosed with colon cancer, age 28, not this spring training, but this previous spring training, 2020, just before COVID hit us all. And certainly that, I'm sure that didn't make it any easier. So how are you doing now physically? Where do you stand with everything? And what do they say is the prognosis? I mean, you sound fantastic. You're playing Major League Baseball. Seems like everything's going well now. I'm sure you were shocked at the time at age 28. I mean, you know, us over 50, we get the colonoscopies regularly, somewhat regularly, if we remember to do it. Age 28, there nobody's getting colonoscopies. So I'm sure it was quite a shock for you, but mainly, how are you doing now?
Yeah, it was very unexpected. Before I was diagnosed, I was, you know, mostly under the impression that it, like you said, affects the older population. My dad had colon cancer about 10 years ago, but he was 58 when he was diagnosed. So I was going to go in at about 40 and maybe get a colonoscopy, but a blood test is what found it. I didn't have any side effects, anything like that. And my iron levels were really low. So they scheduled a colonoscopy and endoscopy for me, found a tumor in my colon and I was diagnosed. I was a few days away from my 28th birthday at the time. So it was a shock. I couldn't believe it, but at the same time, you have to accept it as reality and meet it head on. So, had the surgery. Found out I had to do chemotherapy because a couple of the lymph nodes that were up against the tumor tested positive for cancer as well. And, you know, it was a long road. It's tough. And at this point, I'm, you know, what they say whenever you have colon cancer, it's called NED, no evidence of disease. So I've been NED, you know, basically since my surgery and I finished chemo back in September. So I have to get checked every 3 months. I do a liquid biopsy test and get scanned of my chest, abdomen, and pelvis. So it's a pretty, you know, it's a pretty strict surveillance system, I'd say. But at the same time, you have to move on and go on with your life. And then that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've read, you had no symptoms. They only found out about the iron situation after giving you a blood test and what's normally a routine physical as you get to spring training. When you got this diagnosis, I know it was shocking when you're about 28 years old. I mean, how did you feel? You had to be saying, why does this happen to me? Obviously, your life had been going fantastically to this point. Notre Dame with the Orioles, you're the star of the team. You know, how did you deal with it emotionally?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, when you find out that you have cancer, especially, you know, it wasn't an easy thing where you can just remove it and you're done. I had to do chemotherapy, so it's really hard. But at the same time, whenever you hear the words, you have cancer, you're not really thinking about baseball. Basically, everything goes out the window besides you go into fight or flight mode. You want to live and you want to live for a long time. And so when I heard that, that was my main focus, was doing whatever I could to improve my chances of having a long life. And it's still like that. But, you know, once I finished chemo and realized that things were looking great, then I could shift my focus back on baseball. But back at the time, baseball was, you know, probably the furthest thing from my mind.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And, you know, you probably knew more than most as your dad had been diagnosed and has recovered, beaten cancer. And your dad is a doctor, and not only a doctor, was a doctor for the Indians in spring training, as you're from Winter Haven. So you knew more about it than most. I don't know if that makes it any easier. I mean, stage three, my friend who has recovered completely had colon cancer, also young, quite young, what they consider at age 40. And he also was stage three. That generally means it's in the lymph nodes, but not in a major organ like a liver or lungs. So, you know, what do they tell you at that point about the prognosis? You're obviously in not only young, but also in excellent, excellent shape. And you've got your dad there who'd been through it. Maybe that helps a little bit to a degree as well. You know, what did they tell you, and how'd you react at that moment?
Yeah, I mean, every tumor is different. And, you know, my oncologist, I remember, took me through all the details and everything like that and why they recommend chemotherapy. So, yeah, when you have stage three, you know, there's a chance and a good chance that it was removed during the surgery. You know, there's a lot of terminology that goes into the surgery, but like having clean margins, things like that is important. But at the same time, you never know, you know, once again, into the lymph nodes, you know, a cancerous cell could have gotten out somewhere else and could be in your bloodstream. And that's why they recommend chemotherapy. So even if you have the cancer removed, it's recommended you do chemotherapy. It's called adjuvant chemotherapy. So it's kind of an almost insurance policy to even help your chances even more of it never coming back. So that's basically the reason why I did chemotherapy.
Yeah. Now, how is it for you now? I know I'm asking you lots of questions about the whole situation. You're obviously answering them very well. Is it distracting? Are people still talking about this? Would you like to move on? And we will move on to baseball questions now after this, but, you know, has that part been tough too, as you're trying to readjust to major league pitching?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I have dealt with it really well. I dealt with it well last year, but yeah, especially when you're going back to a job that is as public and you know, you physically demanding as baseball, you want all your focus and energy to be on that. And I think at times, you know, I've had to obviously rehash the last year a lot for good reason. I mean, I want to as well to help raise awareness and everything like that. But it does get tiring, and it does, you know, it can drain you a little bit. And I didn't do a great job at first of handling all that. But I think I've gotten a lot more used to it now and have been dealing with it better.
Yeah, I want to ask you about your support. I've read that Sarah Perlman, who I actually know slightly because she's in the media, does a terrific job as a broadcaster in the Baltimore, Washington area, has been your rock. But of course, you've got a whole organization there. And just wondering how the support has been since the diagnosis, now been more than a year since the diagnosis. How understanding and helpful have the Orioles been? And of course, talk a little bit about Sarah, who's a very wonderful young person who I know.
Yeah, well, so, yeah, Sarah, you know, this all happened during COVID. So she didn't really have any help. Nobody was really able to come visit us or anything. So there, you know, after my chemotherapy sessions, I would not want to get out of bed for 3 or 4 days. I felt sick. I felt, you know, just terrible for a few days. And then I went home with a take-home port too. So Sarah had to, you know, give me a bath for a few days. I couldn't take a shower. I you know, just didn't want to eat. She knew exactly, you know, what I should be eating and stuff. And even if I wasn't hungry, she kind of made me, you know, drink and eat, make sure that I was getting some nutrients in me. And that did help a lot in the long run. And she was just amazing. I mean, she did everything, and I can't say enough about her. And the Orioles were amazing too, throughout the whole process. It was tough not being able to go up to the field and see the guys. You know, from afar, they were amazing and so supportive.
And how's your welcome back been from the team? And, you know, obviously we do have some fans now, and I know they gave you a big ovation. You know, you're already kind of been given the comeback player of the year. I don't know how you feel about that before you even played. I think you'd probably like to accomplish something on the field this year, too. But a little unusual type award, but I understand it. You know, it is a fantastic comeback story. But how have the fans been as well?
Oh, they've been incredible. I can't say enough about the fans. Our fans in Baltimore gave me the warmest welcome. I fully expected that, but it was so touching and nothing short of what I expected. And I'm always so appreciative of them. And the fans at the away parks, too, have been incredible. We've only been to New York, Boston, and Texas. A lot of fans from the opposing teams have been so cool. I think, especially in New York and Boston, I never had been talked to very nicely there. So it was really weird to be in those stadiums.
Sorry. Sorry, as a New Yorker, I apologize.
Being supportive. That was a strange change of pace. But it was really cool.
That's great. Now let's talk some baseball. Obviously it's 18 months away is a major adjustment. That was one of the issues in MLB and the union wanting to go to the universal DH. Obviously pitchers are, other than Bumgarner and Greinke and one or two others, they're pretty terrible at hitting. And it would have been nice for the universal DH. That's another subject probably, but 18 months away, even for a very good hitter like yourself, who's hit, slugged a lot of home runs in the major league level already. What was it like getting into that box in spring training that much time away? And how comfortable do you feel now that we've played, a small percentage of the season? We're about 10% of the season at this point. Do you feel like your old self back to 2019, 2018, in terms of comfort at the box?
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting there, especially the last couple of days. It definitely took some time. It took a little longer than I expected to. I had never been away from the game for that long. The longest that we all are away is 6 months between September and March of the next year. So, it was an extra year off. So there was, a little bit more of adjustments that needed to be made and things like just being used to facing major league pitching again. And I'm feeling much better. And spring training also can't prepare you for being in a, major league stadium in a real major league game. There's definitely a difference in the two. So I think just being back in the swing of things in the regular season is an adjustment in itself. And I think that more than anything was kind of the toughest thing that I had to get used to again, but I've been doing a much better job of dealing with that and being back and, taking major league at bats.
You've already accomplished the big goal of getting back on the field, being healthy and, being a big part of the Baltimore Orioles, but do you set some goals for yourself in terms of what you'd like to do during the season? You've obviously been a 30 home run man at the major league level. So, that's pretty lofty number there. Is anything you'd like to accomplish this year besides obviously you've accomplished the big feat, which was to make a return and be healthy?
Yeah, 30 home runs would be nice. I never set too much of a numerical goal or anything. I think sometimes when I do that, I look too far in the future and where I want to be instead of enjoying every day and enjoying the process of things. And I kind of got in the bad habit, I think, even the last couple weeks of, reflecting back on 19, wanting to be the exact same guy that I was then. And, I realized I had to be a little kinder to myself and realized that it could take a little bit of time. I mean, there's a little bit of a relearning curve that goes into coming back from a, life-threatening cancer diagnosis. So, I just want to go out there every day and help my team win. That day, I've really been focused on that and especially the last few days and the results have been, coming a little bit better because of that. So, that's mainly my goal is just take it day by day and try to do whatever I can to help the team win.
Yeah. I think all eyes are on you. You've gotten a lot of headlines coming back. Does that add to the pressure or is that a nice feeling that everybody's interested in your progress?
I'm not somebody who loves a ton of attention. Like we said, I had a great 2019, but at the same time, I feel like a lot of people still had no idea really who I was or who I am. And I think the cancer, it took me getting cancer for a lot of people to, realize that, You know, I had had a great 2019 and a good career up to that point. So, you know, I think in a weird way, I was feeling, I don't want to say bitter, but, you know, I would have rather it not taken a cancer diagnosis for me to be getting this much attention. But, you know, I've been dealing with it a little bit better too. And you know, I obviously knew it was going to be a big story and an inspiring story. And that's the thing. I wanted to inspire a lot of people and show that even with what happened to me, you're able to come back and fight through the toughest time in your life. And you know, that's a big reason why I'm playing and why I wanted to come back.
Yeah, well, you certainly have inspired everybody around the game. It's been a fantastic story, no question about that. And, you know, I think a part of the reason that, you know, it took this for the attention is that, you know, the Orioles have basically been a rebuilding team the last few years. And they do have good prospects, as you referenced, a lot of pitchers, Rodriguez and Hall. Beyond that, several others. And their time will come in that difficult division. Do they talk about when they expect to contend? Obviously, in the offseason, they didn't pour any money into free agency or very little. Is there a timetable for the Orioles to contend? Again, very difficult division. I mean, you know, everybody else has big bucks to spend. And while Baltimore's a great baseball town, it's a smallish market compared to certainly New York, Boston, and Toronto, and even really Tampa Bay, although Tampa Bay's revenues do not reflect the market, obviously. But is there some kind of timetable for the Orioles?
I mean, as a player, I want to say 2021. you know, I
I'm you sorry, know, I shouldn't have excluded that as a possibility.
No. But yeah, I mean, being a player, you know, being in the front office and making decisions is not my job. My job is to go out there and try to win baseball games, and it's the same with the other 25 guys that are on the team with me. And you know, we go out there expecting to win every single day, and you know, no matter what our record is at the end of the season, I think you can hang your hat if that's your attitude going out every day. And we have a couple guys, like we signed Freddie Galvis, Michael Franco. They're amazing, and they've been on some successful teams before too. So having guys like that with some experience is huge, and kind of gives your club a little jolt. So I'm really excited about our team, and think we can surprise some people.
Yeah, it seems like they're heading the right direction. I think Mike Elias does a very good job there, and I think eventually I don't know if it's going to be 2021. I love your optimism and enthusiasm, Trey, but it might be sooner than people think anyway. And it's great to hear that you're doing well physically and emotionally, and that you're down to worries about feeling comfortable in the box. So that's terrific. I mean, at this stage, that's really what you could have hoped for, I think. But I wanted to thank you so much for joining us. It's been terrific, Trey. You're obviously a very smart guy. Notre Dame isn't Northwestern, but it's still a pretty darn good school. So, sorry, I had to get that in there.
Oh, yeah, no.
We fancy ourselves a rival, but
it's a little Midwestern rivalry there.
Yeah, we're a rival, but not really on the sporting field. Just
in terms
of academics, we can't really claim to be a rival of Notre Dame. So, it's great to hear that you're doing so well physically and in terms of your baseball playing. You feel like you're on the right track, and there are signs that that is the case. So, thank you again for joining us on Big Time Baseball and Odyssey, a sports original program. And I'm sorry that Tony Gwynn couldn't make it. He's undergoing a knee surgery, and we wish him the best.
Yeah, obviously,
no fun, right? Yeah, you sympathize, yeah. But your ailment was much more serious, but still no fun to be under the knife under any condition. And we wish Tony the best as well. And I want to make sure for the audience right now, you leave a five-star rating if you can, and leave a review of Big Time Baseball on iTunes or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Until next time, this is John Heyman. And again, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks to the audience for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks, John. Thanks so much for having me on. I really enjoyed it.